Do you want to be happy today? Then you have to have contrasts. That's the whole thing. That's the reason behind our suffering. Only by suffering do we experience joy. Good morning. This is Martin Zender. Welcome to another week of the Revelation series. It's the last week. We have 3 days left, including today. Wednesday will be the last show of the Revelation series, show 800. Eight is the number of a new beginning, and I will begin a new series. I promise you that. Just don't know if it'll be in a week or if it will be in 2 weeks, but yes, I am in the planning stages of that now. I want to finish, if I can, this section from the Unveiling of Jesus Christ, very well written, very instructive, called Come Lord Jesus by A.E. Nock. Happiness, he says, is a relative reaction. It depends largely on contrasts. The assurance of future fidelity helps much to soften the severities of our present plight. That was future felicity, not fidelity. I'm tired of being fidelius. Fidelis? Fidel? It's felicity. So if the assurance of future felicity is required to sustain you through your trials, then I dare say the abandonment of the expectation of future felicity will hold dire consequences for you. You can't abandon it. I don't want you to throw yourself into the world either. I always say use the world, just don't use it up. Remember Paul, 1 Corinthians 7. Remember that great series we did, The Limited Era? I love that sub-series of the series. Go back and look at all my shows on The Limited Era. Re-listen to them. If you miss me in the 2 weeks, if you don't, well, I'm going to bring you the greatest hits every day still. But the Limited Era, some of the greatest hits have to come from The Limited Era. That's so great. We use the world, we just don't use it up. But we cannot abandon our expectation of future felicity. The faithful Israelites for whom this scroll is primarily intended, the faithful Israelite finds in it the fulfillment of his dearest dreams. Yes, this is what they want. Israelites want to rule the earth. The saint of today, that is us, members of the body of Christ, contrasts his celestial splendors with those terrestrial glories and is happy in his higher honors. You should be happy. You got to be happy for Israel that they get what's coming to them. And as we see the end of the book of Revelation, they're getting fulfilled. They're getting what God's promised them. That is fantastic. But we should be happy with our higher honors. He shudders, that is we, members of the body of Christ, shudder at the judgment shocks. It's a shock to read this stuff, isn't it? Ladies and gentlemen, for 3 years we've been reading of the shocks of Revelation, and we're shocked by the shocks, but is gladdened by their outcome. This is what Christians never look at, the outcome. They think that the lake of fire, the second death, that's the outcome. They think that a world decimated by a third, a population killed by a third, they think that's the outcome. They see a kingdom, but they still see death in operation. They don't realize that it's not the outcome yet. They don't quite get to the end of the story. For all who study this stupendous unfolding of the earth's future, there is serene satisfaction. Do you hear that? Do you hear what we're supposed to get from this study? We studied this book for 3 years, and what were we expected to get out of it? People told me not to do this. People said that I was getting off on a tangent on a different evangel, although I've never been able to stop bringing you Paul. You know that. You know that those warnings were off base. We should have serene satisfaction now at the end of the book of Revelation, because of the outcome, because of what we're seeing happening with Israel. If our heart has gained but a glimpse of the glories of Christ and his terrestrial kingdom as unveiled in these visions, it will be bowed in adoration. Our hearts should bow in adoration seeing how God has finished this thing. You don't want to stop at Revelation chapter 10, chapter 11, chapter 13, chapter 20 even. You got to go to chapter 22. And then, if you're not satisfied with the curse and the idolaters and the enchanters still being dead in the lake of fire, then you have to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Such was the effect on John. John was thrilled to see the end of this thing. He was in a better mood at the end than at the beginning. That's like God said to Job. God said to Job, you know, his end days were, this is Job's realization, his end days were better than his former days. Even the wise man, King Solomon, said, the end of a thing is better than the beginning thereof. Always try to end a sentence with the word thereof. It makes you sound smart. After hearing and observing the swiftly moving scenes in the celestial acts of the dreams of humanity, his heart, this is John, his heart is too full for words, and he falls down to worship. I love it. That's what you do when you run out of words. You just fall down and worship. It's like, just fall down and kiss the ground where the object of your desire stands. You're out of words, and actions do speak louder than words. The messenger approves of the act, but directs it to its proper object, God. You have nothing wrong with you doing this, but don't worship me as God. I was sent by God. We cannot love an unknown deity. Listen carefully, ladies and gentlemen, we can't love an unknown deity. This is why I have thrilled for 3 years to bring you the unveiling of Jesus Christ. Not the hiding of him, not the darkening of him, not the enshrouding enfogment of him, no, but the unveiling of him. Because we can't love an unknown deity. This is why the world doesn't love God, because the deity there presented is not the true deity. Christianity is presenting to the world a caricature of God and Christ. Nobody can love an unknown deity. It is Christ unveiled who brings our hearts into a realization of God's unfailing affection for his creatures. Yeah, even in the book of Revelation, we've discovered an unfailing affection for his creatures. And leads them to own and adore him as their father. It's hard to see this God wrecking everything as your father. It really is. I admit that. I admit that to you. I admit that to you. But again, you can't get out of the theater in the middle of the movie. I've said that many times. I said it concerning Rocky. You can't leave the movie Rocky or any version of it, whether it's Rocky 1 to Rocky 6. You can't leave in the middle of the movie, because the middle of the movie is always the low point. It's always the crisis. What's going on? Hey, what am I going to do? I'm going to get some power creel. What's going on? Hey, Mick. He'll hoist you, Rocky. So you got to stay to the end. See the great victory. This is the fruit of his Aeonian purpose. Thank you, A. Enoch. The fruit of his Aeonian purpose. The fruit is what comes out of the dirt and the branches. A tree, the bark, the inside of it, the ground, the soil, the worms under there. It's all ugly, right? It's all ugly. Nobody wants to see what the roots are doing under a tree or under a plant, under a rose bush. And yet that's essential. It brings the life into the thing. And it goes through the branches, which aren't necessarily pretty. Rose bushes are full of thorns. But at the end, the fruit of it is a nice, pretty red rose. You have to wait and see the fruit. Do not leave the theater, ladies and gentlemen. If you leave the theater now, you're going to miss the greatest ending you could ever imagine. I don't want that to happen to you. Do not leave the theater. If you have to go out and get more popcorn and take a leak, okay, powder your nose, apply another layer of lipstick. Yes, you should do that. But get right back into theater. Hurry up. Or you're going to miss rock. You're going to miss something. You miss something. Yeah, they'll miss something. You don't want to miss anything. Either from Sylvester Stallone or Burgess Meredith. No. Or Carl Weathers. You want to stay to the end of the movie. He'll moin you. If you don't. It is evident that much in this scroll had been kept from mankind until this unveiling was given to John. It was sealed. I'm going to read that again. It is evident that much in this scroll had been kept from mankind until this unveiling was given to John. That, in other words, what he's saying, there's a lot of new information here that could not have been given before because of the situation, because of the circumstance, because the timing wasn't right. God's timing is always right. In effect, it was sealed. It was sealed. The reason is that the era for its fulfillment was not at hand. But again, nobody knew how far away it was, but it was not at hand at that time, so it was sealed. And we're unsealing it. And I've been unsealing it for you because that's what I'm supposed to do. That's what this is what I was meant to do. I was meant to make this series. Not Forsaken Paul. I have my writing series going on for those listening to the show today for the first time. Well, there's only two shows left. You got some catching up to do. Just go back to show number one and start watching. Binge watch this series. Again, we're unsealing the scroll because the era now is at hand. Then it was not at hand. Now, what is God's plans and man's actions are predicated largely on human ignorance. People can't know they're fulfilling Scripture. Pilate had to be ignorant of his role in God's great plan. Even Satan had to be ignorant of his role in God's great plan. Judas, obviously, and all the rest. If they knew God's secrets, men would not crucify the Lord of glory. Reference there is 1 Corinthians 2:8. That's a great verse. If they had known, they would not crucify. They did not know, so they did crucify. So in minor matters, God has doled out the details of his doings so that men may walk in the darkness of their own ignorance. God purposely hides these things, but not from us. To his friends, he unveils his secrets. That's why we're doing this. That's why we don't forsake Paul. Yes, I mentioned my Romans series. I'm writing a series on the book of Romans. I'm almost done with that, too. I've been on that for 3 years. It's a writing series. Go to martinzender.com. Go to the ZWTF. You'll see the current issue on at the top of my homepage, Paul's Evangel. It's a great series, if I don't mind saying so, and I don't, on the book of Romans. And I'm on part 130 or something, 140, I don't know. 3 years into that. This is not only for the evil eons. The coming eons will be blessed with the full revelation. Oh, this is only for the evil eons. Yeah, only during the evil eons does God keep things from people so that they can, you know, inadvertently fulfill his will by thinking they're being stubborn jackasses. That's only during the evil eons. However, the coming eon will be blessed with the full revelation now given, as well as the actual presence of Christ, so that there will be little lack of knowledge. Remember, the knowledge of Christ will cover the earth as the water covers the sea. That will be then. But this is why I'm always saying to you, we are given inside looks. We are given an inside track to God's revelations. He reveals his secrets to those he loves, his intimates. We are his intimates. And so even now, while the world is in darkness, we're understanding this scroll. This is why I did this, to understand it, to unveil it, to unveil the unveiling. That was my motivation. Because I had read this great book called The Unveiling of Jesus Christ by A.E. Nock, and I thought, this stuff makes sense. It's logical. It's practical. Follows laws of language. Why don't more people know about this or care about this, seeing as we are living in the era spoken of in this scroll? All seals will have been broken, all secrets unveiled and revealed. The knowledge of God will cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. The eras of ignorance will end. The eras of ignorance will end. But the beautiful thing, and I'll close with this, the eras of ignorance will end for humanity as a whole, for the world as a whole. The amazing thing is, as the verse says in 1 Timothy 4:10, God is the Savior of all humanity, especially of believers. Believers have something more. We live with Christ during the two upcoming glorious eons and help to perfect his purposes. This is an inside baseball talk here. This is inside baseball. Not many people are watching this show, if you haven't noticed. I'm thankful for the people who do 300, 400, 500. Sometimes I get 600 views. To me, that's miraculous. Martin, why don't you have 10 million views? Your shows are so great. Because it's inside baseball. Nobody cares about the glory and the light of God right now. The masses of humanity are in ignorance, but we have not only had a foretaste of the salvation that will come to all through Christ, we're having a foretaste of the knowledge. We're having seals opened for us to our gaze that won't be open to humanity for hundreds of years from now. Inside baseball, we're God's friends, and to his friends, God reveals his secrets.